This is The National Conversation with All Things Considered. I'm Michelle Martin. 2020 will surely be remembered as the year of the COVID-19 pandemic. But until early March, it was above all a presidential election year. A crowded field of Democratic presidential candidates was battling it out to challenge President Trump in November. Former Vice President Joe Biden swept multiple primaries, becoming the party's presumptive nominee. Turnout was expected to reach record highs. Then everything more or less stopped. The pandemic seemed to put the election on pause for many people, but clearly not for everybody. Many of you sent questions about voting and the election cycle. So here with some answers is NPR's Miles Parks, who covers voting and election interference. Miles, good to have you with us.
Hi, Michelle.
So let's jump right into the questions. First, we have Deirdre in Philadelphia.
Because of COVID-19, voting by mail has been discussed more often and is being met with a lot of resistance. My question is, who cares? Why does it matter so much to people how we vote? Why the social media pushback?
Miles, what can you tell Deirdre?
So she's right. I mean, there is a real divide right now when it comes to mail voting. But I think the real divide is between the White House, you know, President Trump, and much of the rest of America. You know, broadly, people in this country support mail voting. More than 70% of Americans think every registered voter should have the option to receive a ballot if they want to in the mail. That's according to a Pew study from earlier this year. And states, both Republican and Democratic, are expanding access to mail voting right now. But almost every day, we're also seeing tweets from the president and comments from people on his staff that this is a fraudulent way to vote, despite there being no evidence that that's the case, and despite the fact that the president, he himself, has voted by mail in the last few election cycles. So you're seeing this conflict between, obviously, the person at the top of our government and the rest of the country on how voting should be done in this country.
Miles, what about voting online?
So voting online is getting a lot more press right now because of the pandemic. I think people are looking at it as like a shiny object that potentially could kind of save us this year because of the pandemic. But when you talk to security experts, it is really not the answer right now. And the big reason is security. You know, it's kind of easy to forget that just a couple of years ago or a couple months ago, cybersecurity was the most important, you know, thing we were thinking about when it came to this election. The internet just isn't a safe place right now. And I know a lot of listeners are probably thinking, you know, I bank online, I shop online, why can't I vote online? But that's not really the case. You know, it's not like there's not fraud in banking and shopping online. It's just those companies, you know, take billions of dollars in losses and make it up in fees or charges. And elections can't really work that way, is what cybersecurity experts say. We're just not there yet from a technology standpoint.
I have another question about safety. It's from a different vantage point. This is Chuck in New York. Let's listen.
I agree to be an election worker for the election that New York State holds in June. Is there any advice from your experts on how to conduct that election, how to avoid any of this COVID-19 illness? Appreciate any help you can give us.
That's an important question, Miles. What do you have?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I want to say thanks. To Chuck for doing that. This is a problem election officials are having right now, is getting people who are willing to volunteer to work the polls. But basically, you know, the guidance, safety guidance, is kind of the same in an election scenario as it is for the rest of the country. You know, election officials are stocking up on gloves, disinfectant. They should be thinking about trying to clean anything that multiple voters are going to be touching. You know, door handles. If it's a place that uses any sort of check-in machine or voting machine, they should be cleaning those. But the toughest thing, I think, is going to be the socially distant part of this, because a lot of these polling stations that election officials have traditionally used are in, you know, small community centers or small churches, where a line of 10 or 15 or 20 people wouldn't be a big deal a year ago. But now you think about a line of 20 or 30 people 6 feet apart, and now you're talking about a line, you know, wrapping around a building or stretching out into the parking lot or something like that. That, I think, is something that people who are working the polls really have to be focused on. I think it's not something that when voters go up to wait in line to check in, they're not going to be necessarily thinking about that distance, and that's going to be something that poll workers need to be kind of emphasizing.
Kenneth in Ann Arbor, Michigan, has a very interesting question about November. Here it is.
My question is whether or not there's a possibility that the presidential election will be postponed if the spread of the coronavirus continues or is not under control as Election Day approaches. If so, what is the protocol for such an event?
Miles, is there any such possibility?
I want to say no. You know, the election day has been set in federal statute, the presidential election day, I should say, as the first Tuesday after the first Monday in November. And that's been in federal law since 1845. We've kept that date through wars, through a pandemic, the Spanish flu pandemic in 1918. We have voted on that date. Legally speaking, though, it is technically possible for the date to move. It would be incredibly complicated, and it would involve a level of bipartisan support. You would need the Democratic-controlled House to agree with the Republican-controlled Senate and have the president sign off on any election date adjustment. And then you think about the fact that the Constitution, you would also have to have a constitutional amendment involved if you ever wanted to delay it past January. So it would be so incredibly difficult that most experts think it's basically impossible. There's definitely no executive authority that gives the president, for instance, the ability to move that date.
Kate in Washington, D.C. is wondering about voter registration.
With all of the focus on vote by mail in the upcoming election, I'm really curious about how voters at the other end of the spectrum are being handled in coronavirus. How is it that we are accomplishing voter registration when that's something that often happens in person and especially at large gatherings of people?
Miles?
Yeah, I mean, this is a struggle. You think about DMVs, you think about college campuses. These are the places where people typically get registered to vote, and none of them are open right now. That's being felt in the data. You know, registration had been up compared to the 2016 cycle and the 2020 cycle up until the pandemic, but that is completely leveled off. The Secretary of State of Kentucky spoke to my colleague Pam Fessler and told her that in February they had a net registration of 7,000 new registrations. In March, that number dropped to 500. And then in April, they had a net loss of 1,000 registrations on the rolls. So the numbers are being felt. The question is, are we going to be in a place in a few months where people can start knocking on doors again? I think the campaigns are kind of chomping at the bit to get out there and get people registered. So it's not, you know, completely certain that the registration numbers are going to dip. It just depends on what the next couple months look like.
Miles, as briefly as you can, we talked about turnout at the very beginning of this, and you were saying turnout was expected to be really high. What are people saying now?
Yeah, two things. I mean, one is that people are expected to be voting by mail at higher rates than ever before. Experts are thinking 50 to 70% of voters are expected to be voting by mail. The other thing is that we just have no idea what the actual turnout's going to look like. I think people were expecting Wisconsin to be really low turnout, considering the debacle that happened there. We actually saw that turnout end up kind of normal. So it's possible that the political energy could cancel out some of these difficulties.
That is NPR's Miles Parks, who covers election interference and voting. Miles, thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
This is the National Conversation with All Things Considered from NPR News, and we hope you'll stay with us.